Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: to be, to abide, to live, to walk and to bear fruit in Christ. Chapter 5. To walk in Christ. To be in Christ is the most sublime place a Christian can meet. And a Christian can be in this place even if one is still dwelling on earth and in a fragile and limited body. For being in Christ is a place that is inhabited by faith and made available to all who receive Christ in the heart as their Lord. Now, the being in Christ, in turn, is expressed in the Scriptures also in two principal and distinct ways, namely: 1. To live in Christ. 2. To walk in Christ. The very reference to being in Christ, as well as to the two principal and distinct aspects by which being in Christ can be practiced by a Christian, may not be very common to the language of the people in general. However, the Christian life is not defined by the concepts that people have about it, but it is characterized by what God, who grants it, establishes about it. And in God's eyes, living in Christ and walking in Christ are two distinct groups of actions, but which should always complement each other and be practiced together in the life of a Christian. The fact that the Scriptures mention differently living in Christ and walking in Christ does not mean that the Christian should choose one over the other, but that the practice of the two aims at a final purpose in common and that none of them should be neglected. That is, if one person practices one of them, one surely should also do the other. Additionally, to cooperate with the aspect that we are seeking to address at the beginning of this chapter, we would like to remember here what was mentioned in a particular way in the subject on every good gift and every perfect gift, in which it was explained that life in Christ is also presented by the Lord as being equivalent to life in the Spirit of the Lord. Thus, the living in Christ and the walking in Christ are also the expression of what is respectively called in the Scriptures as living in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit, as we can also see in the two texts mentioned below. Galatians 5:25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Understanding that living and walking in Christ are also expressed by living and walking in the Spirit is highly relevant, because from what the Scriptures teach us about living and walking in the Spirit, we can also see more evidenced what is specifically addressed regarding the walking in Christ besides the living in Christ already discussed in the previous chapter. To walk in Christ and the to walk in the Spirit are equated because it is through the Holy Spirit that the Lord Jesus Christ dwells and manifests himself in Christians, just as it is through the Holy Spirit that a Christian can walk together with the Lord through faith in him, as we briefly exemplify once again with some texts below. 1 Corinthians 6:17. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. John 7:37-39. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. John 16:13-14. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Although the call to be in Christ refers firstly to an invitation from God with spiritual characteristics, becoming more instructed about walking in the Spirit is also of particular relevance, for by the call for walking in the Spirit, The Lord teaches us that being in Christ is also a call for significant changes or effects regarding the practices of the natural life of the person who happens to be in Him spiritually. The Holy Spirit is granted by the Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ to be with the Christians and to help them in the knowledge of the truth that is in the Lord and about the aspects of the heavenly kingdom. However, the Holy Spirit is also granted to help Christians to practice the truth of God in their natural or earthly actions, being the first of these two aspects more characterized by living in Christ and the second more by walking in Christ. And since there is God's provision, through His Holy Spirit, both for to live in Christ as well as for to walk in Christ, it is also expected that a Christian comes to experience this provision in these two aspects in his or her life. When the Scriptures declare that God's children are those who are led by the Spirit of God, they do not exclude direction in some areas of life as if the guidance of the Spirit of God could be applied only to spiritual actions and not to natural actions. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. When the Lord calls Christians to walk in the Spirit, in addition to the call to live in the Spirit, the Lord does this because by walking in Christ, or by walking in the Spirit, a Christian is also called not to walk according to the flesh or according to the corrupted lusts or passions that are in the world, as also exemplified below. Galatians 5:16-25. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Romans 13:11-14. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh, to fulfill its lusts. As we have seen in previous chapters, putting on Christ is also one of the ways of expressing the being in Christ, action which can be applied to the practices that aim the living in Christ through fellowship with the Lord, but that is also applicable to everything that Christians carry out and practice in the natural or present world, expressed most sharply by walking in Christ or by walking clothed with Christ. Considering that the call for being in Christ is an offer of a new condition of life in the Lord, we would also like to emphasize that it seems to us that the connotation of being called for walking in Christ, in addition to living in Christ, according to the texts of Galatians and Romans discussed above, does not refer so much to a call as an obligation. But, rather, according to a reasonableness that a person's aim of living in the Spirit should also be accompanied by the goal of walking in the Spirit in everything, including the most diverse matters of natural life. Still in another text of the book of Romans, It is also possible to be observed that the option for life in the Spirit of God should as well be reflected both in the spiritual and natural sense of the one who is willing in the Lord to live and walk according to what is offered to him or her by God, as follows. Romans 8, 13. For if you live according to the flesh you will die, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. As already mentioned above, both living in Christ and walking in Christ express the practice of the Christian life or the being in Christ, where, however, the first aspect is more related to the practice of the Christian life directed at the Lord who is seated in the heavenly places and the second aspect more directed to the practical actions of a Christian's life that are related to the matters of his or her natural life. Both living in Christ and walking in Christ are parts of the same Christian life. They are actions to be practiced by the same Christian, where living in Christ refers more to the actions that a person practices when one heeds to the call of "Come to me" made by the Lord to him or her, while walking in Christ is more related to the exteriorization of the novelty of the Christian's life in the aspects that are manifested in the natural or earthly things that he or she practices. Through Christ or by being in Christ, a person has a new and living way of access to God and in which one is offered an intimate fellowship with the Lord, which, in turn, is also called eternal life. And from this fellowship, the Christian is taught to see and understand the thoughts of the will of God, which are heavenly, eternal, holy, and perfect, and are not according to human beings or according to the natural man. On the other hand, the wisdom of God for a Christian is not wisdom that abstains from the natural life of this Christian and the challenges that one has in his or her life in the present world. It is wisdom that comes down from above and bears fruits that also affect the natural life of those who receive it, as James as well testifies to us in the text below. James 3, 14-17. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. By living in Christ, a Christian has access to the mind of Christ and the wisdom from on high, for Christ is seated at the right hand of God and is there as the mediator between God and human beings. However, it is by walking in Christ or walking in the Spirit that a Christian can have the privilege of seeing and experiencing the wisdom from on high also applied in his or her actions in the natural life. James 3, 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Psalms 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. When a Christian lives in Christ, his or her living in the world or the fleshly body, also expressed by what is called walking in the world, can as well be according to Christ, according to the will of God, or in conformity to the walking in Christ. When a Christian lives in Christ or lives as one who takes refuge in the Lord, his or her life in the present world, or still inhabiting a mortal body, can also be lived in conformity with the will of the heavenly kingdom. Galatians 2, 19-20. For I through the law died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Colossians 3, 1-17. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, or will manifest himself, then you also will appear, or be manifested, with him in glory. Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. To walk in Christ, to walk in the Spirit, or yet to walk clothed with Christ, encompasses the materialized expression of that which results from living in Christ. It expresses the condition by which an individual can function in his or her most diverse actions in the world without ceasing to be in Christ. To live in Christ and to walk in Christ complement each other, which is why every Christian is called to practice both to find oneself in everything in a position of true wisdom before the Lord as well as before one's fellow men. Without living in Christ, a person keeps away from discovering the will of God for his or her life. However, without walking in Christ, a person, who even may have partially known the will of God, does not put oneself in the position of being able to indeed do the will of the Lord in his or her most diverse actions in the world. Although many people do not practice the living in Christ, many of them might even try to do Christian works, which, however, are not recognized by God because they are not done in the Lord and according to his will or instruction. On the other hand, however, the Scriptures, in teaching about walking in Christ, also alert us to the fact that there may be people in the world who only seek to know the will of God but who do not have the same willingness to practice it indeed. So, in both situations, they do not get the Lord's approval for their lives. Matthew 7:21-27. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore whoever hears these sayings of mine, and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine, and does not do them, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. And still to further explore the walking in Christ as a complement to the living in Christ, but bearing in mind that one is distinct from the other, we will then seek to outline three other examples with the goal of enlarging the understanding of both the distinction and the complementation of one regarding the other. Thus, The first example to be considered in attendance to the preceding paragraph refers to a text extracted from the book of the prophet Isaiah, as follows. Isaiah 40, 31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, they shall mount up with wings like eagles, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. If we look closely at the text above, it can be observed in it that by waiting or maintaining trust in the Lord, a person places oneself in a position in which one can attain renewal of strength, but also that this renewal is granted for use in two different directions, namely 1. Mounting up with wings like eagles. 2. Running without becoming weary, as well as walking and not fainting. While in the text of the prophet Isaiah one direction points to heaven, to the high place, the other direction points to the earth, to the way and the locomotion on earth. When a person waits on the Lord and places his or her trust in him, one also receives from the Lord a renewal of strength for two distinct aspects, but which are granted to complement each other. An individual who trusts in the Lord or waits on him receives 1. Strength to rise and to sit, by faith, in the heavenly places in Christ in order to know more God and to be instructed on the will of the Lord, practice equivalent to living in Christ. 2. Strength to move on the earth in order to run or walk in it according to the will of the Lord and, yet, without becoming exhausted by the fact that he or she was strengthened by the being in the Lord, where this running or walking is equivalent to walking in Christ. The Lord is fully sovereign and powerful to operate life either for the new spiritual condition of a Christian as a new creature, as well as to strengthen a Christian and instruct him or her in wisdom for a new manner of life or walking in the present world, even if the Christian yet remains in a fragile and deadly body. The Lord's action through the Holy Spirit is sovereign and powerful to act so that a person has the strength to attend to the "Come to Me" declared by Christ, as well as to provide all the strength and resources that a Christian needs to be able to perform, even in his or her natural condition on earth, all that the Lord instructs and guides him or her to follow or to do. Romans 8, 11. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. 2 Corinthians 9, 8-9. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. The second example to be considered regarding walking in the Lord, also as a result of living in the Lord, refers to the very life of Christ when he was in the flesh in the present world. The one who knows the Bible's books of the historically called New Testament also knows how much the Scriptures narrate the aspect that the Lord Jesus lived in God and how much he primarily practiced the maintenance of fellowship with the Heavenly Father. However, the same books also tell us that the Lord Jesus likewise acted in God and externalized the life he had in the Eternal Father, doing so throughout the whole time of his walking in the flesh on the earth. Acts 10, 36-39. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, that word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. The Lord Jesus Christ, even when exposed to strong temptations and terrible and profound anxieties, never ceased to walk, in everything, in the Heavenly Father who sustained him through the Holy Spirit, thus always remaining in the Heavenly Father both in the aspect of living in the Father as well as in the aspect of walking in the Heavenly Father. John 6, 57. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. John 8:28. Then Jesus said to them, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things." And among many other texts that allow us to observe the functioning of walking in Christ as a result and complement of living in Christ, yet a third example is also found in the text on the great harvest that we have already mentioned in the previous chapter and which we repeat once again as follows. Luke 10:2. Then he said to them, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Earlier it has already been mentioned that the living in Christ, described in this last text in reference, is expressed in the actual performance of prayer to the Lord for that he may send laborers into his harvest. Nevertheless, prayer to the Lord of the harvest also has an objective that it will result in practical actions to be performed during the harvest itself, that is, to be indeed carried out among the people of the present world, since the actual harvesting of the harvest is also carried out by laborers who cooperate with God and who go to the field and walk to gather what is to be harvested. So, the actions concerning cooperation with the reaping in the harvest of the Lord, though first resulting from living in Christ, are also complemented by laborers who practice the walking in Christ. By calling Christians to live in Christ, God, through fellowship, seeks to give them life and to strengthen them in their spirit, soul, and body. However, in calling Christians to also walk in Christ, God makes them aware that the life and strengthening bestowed on them are also for their benefit in what they do through the natural life that is still available to them in the present world. The call of God for Christians also to walk in Christ is announced as well to help them to realize that by being in Christ they can be victorious in the Lord and according to his will both in the heavenly places and in the earthly regions. Philippians 4, 12-13. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through, or in, Christ who strengthens me. The power of God offered to Christians is not limited to a victorious life in Christ only in a distant future when a Christian has already entered the eternal heavenly presence of the Lord. The power of God is also mighty so that, in the present or on the earth, a Christian can be victorious over the opposition of sin and darkness to the point that one can accomplish his or her works in conformity with the heavenly light and instruction. 2 Corinthians 4, 6-10. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed, we are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Therefore, the possibility and benefits of walking in Christ need to be proclaimed and taught to Christians as much as the living in Christ, for many may come to think that salvation is summed up to a remission from sin, remission from the debt of this sin, and a hope of salvation after life on earth. However, the Christian life is even more than this. The Christian life also encompasses the condition for a Christian already to be able to walk in newness of life. Romans 6, 4. Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Colossians 2, 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Ephesians 5, 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. The Lord grants the restoration of the relationship with God so that people can approach Him in the heavenly places, but He also bestows the Holy Spirit so that people can live life on earth differently in Him. In Christ, by living in Him, but also complemented by walking in Him, the Christian can build up his or her personal life on the earth according to the will of God. And this may happen in relation to his or her family, profession, studies, relationships with other Christians, and relationships with the world in general. For the one who chooses before the Lord to live in Christ, his or her path and proceeding on earth is also enlightened by the Lord Jesus in such a way that this individual can also walk in Christ even in the present world. John 8:12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. In this way, the repeated insistence on the theme being discussed above is of high relevance, for in the world, there are many teachings that want to distort the reality that life in Christ is powerful both for a person to live in Christ as well as for him or her to be able to walk in Christ. We have already seen in the texts quoted above that there are people who think it is possible to dissociate one aspect from the other. There are people who insist on trying to walk in life without jointly living in Christ. On the other hand, there are also people who think that the Christian life is only a life of contemplation and admiration of the spiritual aspects, but that it is not indeed applicable in the ordinary activities of life. When, however, the Lord instructs Christians to live in Christ and walk in Christ, He is teaching us that by being in Christ it is possible to obtain the heavenly life both for the actions of seeking fellowship with the Lord as well as for the actions of a Christian in his or her life in the present world. When the Scriptures announce that the Lord is all and in all, they do so because He is able to be all and in all in spiritual and heavenly matters as well as in material and earthly things. The Lord can instruct the farmer in one's planting, the buyer in one's purchases, the seller in one's sales, the parents in the education of the children in honor to the parents, the rulers to be rulers who walk in righteousness, the creators in their creations, the industrialists in their manufacturing, the workers in their most diverse duties, and so on. In Christ there are instructions and provision of wisdom for all areas and works of human life which aim at the glory of God and also the good of people. The diversity of actions that can be practiced by walking in Christ is simply unimaginable, but for all of them, there is abundant wisdom and provision in the Lord. And the variety of benefits that can come to people for walking in Christ is of a grandeur and splendor that man cannot measure, since from the actions considered small and ordinary to the works considered great and extraordinary, the Lord in all and in all time always longs for His children to act in favor of the good. If a Christian walks in Christ, he or she can also express newness of life, granted to him or her in Christ, in all the acts of his or her life, including those who are called ordinary or of the daily routine. From a respectful and straightforward reception of a person to the more complicated procedure to be performed, a Christian can express the life he or she receives from Christ when one is also willing to walk in the Lord. From a collective activity, such as instructing children or teaching adults appropriately, to an individual movement of studying and producing a benefit to people, it is possible for a Christian to walk in Christ and do good. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. The works that are done in the world by walking in Christ are not always those that are immediately recognized by people on the earth or accepted by many, but they are works that have the endorsement of the Lord and that have a reward stored in God. And lastly at this point, likewise to the previous chapter, we would like to mention that our primary goal in this present subject is not to address so much the how a person may come to walk in Christ, but rather to emphasize the high relevance of recognizing that this aspect is a vital aspect of God's call to the life that is according to the new creature in Christ Jesus. Thus, in this first theme of the series Walking in Newness of Life, we will limit ourselves to mentioning the walking in Christ in a more summarized way and to showing it in its joint action with the living in Christ, letting the broader approach of this aspect and its highly precious and essential points for the other subject in this series. We also recall that several points about walking in Christ are already described in the subjects on the Christian in the world in general and on the gospel of the glory of God and the glory of Christ. We mention that in the latter, there is even a marked emphasis on the various characteristics of the glory of the one in whom Christians are called to be forever through living in Christ and walking in Christ, of him who shows no partiality in order to be all and in all. Colossians 3:10-11. And have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all.